Welcome back into Sports Talk here on a Treasure Chest Thursday. We're at the Game Bar and Grill, enjoying the TVs, the drinks, the food, everything going on before Thursday night football about to kick off. Maybe place a bet or two for tonight's game and maybe for the weekend as well, Mike.
Yeah, the food didn't last too long. It didn't get cold, that's for sure. But food's great here. Got great drink specials here, so come on out and see us. And we're here each and every Thursday from 4 to 7, right before Thursday night football. And tonight, Cowboys and the Giants, Bobby's favorite team, the Cowgirls.
Yeah, I know he'll be rooting for an NFC East squad that is the G-Men tonight.
He don't pull for too many New York teams, but
right?
He will tonight.
Looking at that, Cowboys obviously been a huge disappointment. And, man, oh, man, you just going back to that Week 2 matchup of the Saints where it was really a black and gold domination. They just manhandled the team up and down the field. It was pretty amazing to see. Obviously, last week, a bit of a letdown for this squad against the Eagles. And hopefully the Saints can bounce back this Sunday, taking on a very important opponent in an NFC South divisional matchup against the Falcons. Looking at that injury report today, Mike, that came out, going over it again. We had Derek Carr, Taysom Hill, a full go. Both of them listed on the report, though. Carr dealing with a groin issue. Taysom Hill back after dealing with a chest injury. Both of them obviously will be needed fully against the Atlanta Falcons. We had limited DeMarco Jackson still. Colin Saunders also limited was Alvin Kamara. That's a positive, an upgrade from yesterday when he didn't practice, as he's dealing with not just a rib issue but also a hip injury.
Yeah, I remember Sean Payton telling us that, man, the one thing with Alvin, he's one of the smartest players.
Right.
He picks things
up. Talk about
that
IQ.
And he knows what to do, where to go. He's not going to mess up an assignment. He gets it. And, you know, for some players, they rep guys. They got to do it over and over and over again. And for Alvin, he can pick it up so quickly as – man, they used to say this about, you know, kind of long division and all that, you know, that, you know, some kids could pick it up quick. Now they got calculators now, so they can fool with all that.
You forget calculators, you got a phone.
Yeah, they got a calculator on the phone. So it's one of those deals. But, man, Alvin, he's sharp, really sharp guy. And so you'd love to see Kamara or Taysom Hill. That twosome when they play up against the Falcons.
Yeah, because real quick, want to get into two. Last game was really a disappointment to see the lack of use of a guy like Jamal Williams. One carry, negative 1 yards. And I just thought he'd be more of a presence because he was a physical type runner, which I thought you would need in this game against the Eagles, and just didn't happen.
Almost like he lost some giddy up after the step once he left the Lions. You can tell he's not as quick hitting the hole and getting out.
For sure. Looking at some of the other guys, you mentioned some football smarts. Alante Taylor was dealing with an illness, didn't practice Wednesday. He was a full go today. That is good news for the black and gold. But then you look at linebacker DeMario Davis, who's dealing with a hamstring issue. Second straight day of not practicing for DeMario. That's a bit of a concern. Also with Cesar Ruiz, the guard, knee issue, not practicing in back-to-back days for the Saints. Added to the report today, A.T. Perry, wide receiver, hamstring issue, did not practice. And then Cedric Wilson Jr. got dinged up reportedly at practice, has an ankle issue, so he ended up being limited on the day. But, yeah, obviously, Mike, those DMPs on DeMario Davis and Cesar Ruiz, a major concern and something we'll be talking about tomorrow when the final injury report for Sunday comes out.
What it was last year, he had a knee injury, DeMario, and was like, man, we don't know if he's going to play, and then bang.
I talked to God, he said, basically, and
yeah,
was like.
Yeah, and I'm here. I'm here. Tee it up. I'm ready to go. And the Falcons, they've added some. Now, with Jake Matthews, he'll return because expecting a child.
Right.
But with Matthew Judon with a hamstring injury, and Bijan, and I know this is a carryover from the preseason that he had a little bit of an issue with his shoulder and limited practice today because of that shoulder injury.
That is definitely huge because he was not on the practice report on Wednesday. So I'm imagining that's something that happened in practice as well for the Dirty Birds and not practicing for a second straight day. We talked about this a lot. Caleb McGarry, their tackle, has a knee issue. And
we know Drew Dolman won't play.
Right, their center. So just as the black and gold dealing with offensive line issues, what do you know? their biggest rival in the NFC South, the Dirty Birds, also facing those same issues. So it's kind of, I guess you would look at it as something that's even going into this matchup, at least. You're both kind of struggling at that O-line position. It's going to come down to, I guess, who's got better depth there.
Yeah, and again, this is, man, haven't done this for a long time. None of these games, you can predict it or try to, but they never turn out like you think. There's always a couple of crazy things
sure.
that happen when the Saints play Atlanta. And I don't care if it's in Atlanta or in New Orleans. There's some crazy things that happen. And the other factor will be, will that be in the back of their minds how it ended last year with that final touchdown?
Yeah, everybody's been kind of playing it off this week, but I remember, you remember, and I'm sure as heck the Falcons remember.
Yeah, and man, what? Because if you were just going to take the knee is one thing, but you got in the formation like you were going to, and then...
Yeah, they don't care that Jameis ain't here anymore.
Yeah, what? No, it just matters if it's the Saints. Now, I will say this. Years ago, man, the Falcons would run up scores on the Saints like that, too. I shed no tears for that deal.
Sure, right.
But, if you're a player, you sort of remember that particular moment.
And it wasn't just running up the score, Mike. It was you're in victory formation.
It's how you did it.
It was kind of cheap.
Yeah, and so we'll see after the game what Falcons players say about it. Because I'm sure it has been brought up to them a few times by some of the veterans on this team. You might say, oh, y'all making too much of that. No. Now, you remember when somebody does something to you.
We hear from Michael Jordan, obviously, is one guy that always talks about any little thing to help motivate you. That could end up being that little extra push.
Exactly, because this time of year, you've heard all the speeches you're going to hear, okay? And so if you need a little bit putting the cables on the battery, this the jumper cable comment.
Yeah, getting a little extra juice in there. Getting closer to that kickoff between the Cowboys and Giants on Thursday Night Football. You can hear that, obviously, WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. And you can stop by the Treasure Chest Casino. Got it on all the big screens here. Also, the FanDuel Sportsbook. You can place your bets on the game. Also, this weekend's college and NFL action as well. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be talking more about those Dirty Birds. We'll see what D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has to say about those Falcons when we get back right here at the Treasure Chest Casino on WWL after the break. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at the Treasure Chest Casino. We're at the Game Bar and Grill getting ready for Thursday Night Football, about to kick off 7 o'clock. We are getting ready, though, for the big matchup in Atlanta on Sunday, Saints versus Falcons. Happy to be talking to D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution to help break this matchup down. D., how you been doing?
Hey, I've been doing pretty good, Mike and Steve. Thanks for having me on the show.
Man, it looks like mirror images, both of them, without their starting centers, and looks as though Cesar Ruiz probably won't play against the Falcons, and looks like McGrady won't against the Saints. So kind of tell us what's going to happen at the center position for the Falcons without Dolman.
Yeah, they've got Ryan Neuzel, a kid from Appalachian State who came out in 2020. He played there with the Falcons line coach, Dwayne Ledford. He was on the practice squad for a couple years and finally got on the field last year, started 3 games there, and went in last week when Dolman went out. And, they seem to be real confident in him holding it down here for a few games while Dolman's out with the high left ankle sprain.
Wondering what's going on with the injury report today with the Falcons, D, seeing Matthew Judon, Bijan Robinson popping up after not being on there yesterday.
Yeah, I was told that they had to just kind of put Bijan on there because he missed a few reps in practice today. Judon, I don't have any extra information on him. But, they were first-timers today. Bijan's expected to be full tomorrow, no big thing there. But Judon with a hamstring, an older guy, that's always a concern when you see them pop up on the injury report with the old soft tissue injury.
D, one of the things, everybody, this is a copycat league, and they saw what happened in the Eagles game with Dallas Goedert, and he seemed to be open even when he was covered to be honest with you. And he wasn't covered too much in that football game. That this may be a big game potentially for Kyle Pitts, who seems to be healthy now, D. And I know he had fought injuries early on in during his career. How does it look like for Kyle and how has he played early on this season? I watched he made a couple plays against the Chiefs. But in that spot, this would seem to be an area where maybe they can make some hay against the Saints because the Saints had difficulties last year covering the tight end. And now, you know, what you saw last week against Goddard.
Yeah, Pitts is, you know, the whole offense is just kind of figuring each other out. They're getting better as each week goes by. You know, the only thing that's been consistent was Bijan Robinson running the ball until last week where the Chiefs shut him down. They've been able to get it to Mooney, a little bit to London. Pitts only has 12 targets, so, you know, he's available. But, yeah, they have to, you know, see what, you know, Goddard was able to do and got to figure out they got to come up with some ways to get the ball to Pitts. You know, as this offense grows together with the new quarterback and all the new players and so forth. So, you know, you just seen it all kind of coming together. It hasn't worked yet. We don't even know if they can get him the ball, but he certainly got him one on that deep crosser against Kansas City that went for 50 yards. So now you want to see if they can do that again.
One of the things, too, is we saw him at college and when he was at Tulane is Darnell Mooney. He goes to the Bears, and he's had some good moments there with Chicago. They were able to pick him up this offseason, and he seems to be the perfect complement for Drake London. Well, you know, because Drake's this big, tall, lengthy guy, thickly built receiver, and Darnell's the speed guy. And he's certainly come through for you guys so far.
Yeah, they've been able to get him free. He got a 41-yard touchdown in Philadelphia. That was key. They picked up the blitz and hit him deep. They've been able to hit him on some shallow crossers coming out of bootlegs. Been able to hit him on some deeper stuff, too. So, yeah, him and Kurt are coming right along with their relationship in the passing game. I think they're a little bit further along than Kurt and Pitts and maybe even Kurt and London. But yeah, Darnell has been one of the surprising stories early in the season here for the Falcons.
Justin Simmons coming in. He was a late pickup for him, seasoned vet, understands this game at a different level. One of the people that have played and coached with Justin always bring out just his intelligence level and putting people in the right place and him knowing what to do. But also, he's a great communicator out on the field. That has really come through very quickly with Justin because I know it came down between Saints, Falcons for him, and he ended up picking Atlanta. But your thoughts on him as a leader on this team, and you always got to have a chirper in the secondary. Always a guy that got to be that individual to make sure everybody knows what they have to do. He seemingly has taken that role very, very quickly.
Yeah, more share with Jesse Bates, but they're both are same kind of style safety. But Jesse, just because he's been there longer, they've been able to work it out between themselves to where, they've got their side of the field together and Justin's got his side, closer to the nickelback together. And so far they haven't looked real disjointed on defense. They have giving up a lot of runs. They have been on the field a lot, 12 plays or 10 yards or 10 plays or more, but, only 9 were scoring, 5 field goals, 4 touchdowns, and 2 getting off on downs and 1 off an interception by Simmons. So the defense is further along than the offense right now, and Simmons has been able to come in and blend in with the group very easily.
Ray Robinson's a guy that's been – he's been a nice surprise for this team, hasn't it? He's a nice addition and what he's able to bring to the table as both a runner and a receiver.
Yeah, they weren't able to get him loose on a sweep there. He had 7 targets in the first game against Pittsburgh because, teams are going to try to take away London and Pitt. So, Mooney and Ray McCloud, they're going to be available to Kirk Cousins, and he's going to check it down. He's going to find them. He's a progression quarterback. So, you know, until while he's free, he's got to make teams pay. And, you know, that'll open up other parts of the offense as, you know, teams decide, okay, well, we got to, you know, account for Mooney and account for McLeod also. So they got weapons. They're just figuring out how they got to use them and so forth with the new coordinator who's a first-time coordinator and, you know, a veteran quarterback who's with, you know, all these young guys for the first time.
D, Mike mentioned it early on, obviously, what Dallas Goedert was able to do against the Saints with the Philadelphia Eagles. We're kind of concerned going into this matchup with a guy like Kyle Pitts. Obviously, he's been a bit of a disappointment over there. I know he's dealt with injuries, but right now, your big tight end over there has been healthy. How's he been progressing in this offensive scheme now?
Yeah, you know, he got open deep last week. That's the one thing that the tight end coach has been saying, is they want to see him play fast. The year he had 1,000 yards as a rookie, they said he was playing fast. And that's what they're trying to get him to, you know, make sure that he's going top speed at all times. And they believe that the coverage has dictated that he hasn't gotten the ball early, but they believe the ball is going to find him in this offense. And so I don't know, you know, who he is in this offense. You know, it's the Rams offense. Is he Cooper Kupp? Is he one of the other guys? He's a tight end. You know, they move him around a lot. But so far, they haven't – it's not seamless. It's not real smooth. It's real choppy. So it's just a work in progress with, you know, integrating him into this offense at a high level.
D, you, all of us watched Sunday night, and, you know, there was a lot of emotion in that game, especially, too, when you play – the defending champs and Patrick Mahomes and what they bring to the table. And, man, it's almost like you had them and you let them kind of slip away a little bit toward the end with an opportunity to maybe win that game against Kansas City. What has the mood been in Atlanta since then? Because, man, you just had a feeling watching the game. Man, if you left them one kind of bullet in the gun, Mahomes was going to get them. But the Kansas City defense came through on the big play. I'm not sure about that play call on fourth down, but had an opportunity. So what's been the mood around the team losing a game where you had a lot of things sort of go for you to put you in a positive manner to win? It just slipped away late.
Yeah, mood's been pretty upbeat, surprisingly, in the fact that, you know, they went toe-to-toe with the two-time defending Super Bowl champs, whereas in times past, they would have got blown out the stadium. I'm hearing from my friends that were riding the train back and forth that the fans were pretty upbeat, too, and they could see that this is a much better team that, you know, could come together and maybe do some damage in the NFC South. So they've been rather upbeat internally. You know, in the city and so forth, you know, the teams that they've lost to are 8-1. So they played three playoff teams, should have won two of them for sure. Pittsburgh didn't even score a touchdown against them. So, you know, that's a lot. That's an uplift in the quality of football they've been playing here in Atlanta the last 6 years when they haven't gone to the playoffs. So folks are very optimistic that this team could put it together. And, you know, maybe have a winning season here in 2024.
D, with the problems the Saints have in the middle and uncertainty on exactly how it's going to shake out, you know you won't have Eric McCoy to deal with and most likely a new right guard. The play so far of Grady Jarrett, who sustained the first, as far as I can remember, the first major injury he's had as an NFL player, and then a guy we knew a lot about, David Onyemata. Tell us a little bit about the, you know, how that combination has worked, because I know in talking to Coach Ryan Nielsen last year when he was there, man, he was looking forward to having those two guys in the middle sort of control things, and then Jarrett goes down to the injury.
Yeah, they've been back together this year, and, you know, so far so good. They both have done a good job playing not next to each other now. They got Eddie Goldman in as the nose tackle when they're in their 3-4 base. But when they go through their 4 2-5 nickel. They're both in there together. Onyemata's taking on a lot of the blocks. He's eating up a lot of the blocks and setting things up for Caden Ellis in the run game. Grady's getting free at some times to get a little pressure on the quarterback, but they still haven't done that. Their main job is to shut down the run, and they haven't done that particularly well because they have running quarterbacks in the first two games. But we'll see if they're able to, you know, get that going. It was looking good before Grady got hurt last year under Coach Nielsen, and now we got to see how Jimmy Lake, the new coordinator, tries to get those guys going in the middle of that defense there.
You mentioned Caden Ellis there, former Saints draft pick. How does he continue developing that Atlanta system?
Yeah, I've been getting rave reviews about his play, and he's the green dot guy, and he's able to get some pressure on quarterbacks, so they ask him to do a lot. But he's kind of carrying the kid next to him who's trying to learn how to play linebacker after being an athlete in 1AA or whatever we call it now, FCS or whatever at Montana. But, yeah, Caden's doing a great job over there. He's holding things together. Trying to teach Troy Anderson the instincts of that position. But, yeah, everybody that I've talked to has been very pleased with his play.
Mike Hughes, because everybody understands the type talent A.J. Terrell is on one side. But how has Mike Hughes held up opposite A.J.?
Yeah, so far he's held up pretty good. In the first game, Justin Fields didn't try to attack him, and neither did Hurts. But he saw a lot of action from Mahomes, and he came up with he had 5 tackles in the Eagles game and 7 in the last game. So, you know, nobody's getting by him. He's running his position, playing his zone, and he's coming up and tackling in a physical manner. So this is the 4th team that has given him a chance to be a starting cornerback. Injuries have derailed him in other places and quality of play. But Jerry Gray was with him in Minnesota, and so he's going to ask him to do what he can do. And if he can't, he's not going to try to put him in a position where he's playing man against somebody that he, you know, can't run with. So far they've been very pleased. But like I said, I went and did his history. You know, even going back to, you know, there was a 5-star coming out of North Carolina, New Bern, and signing with the Tar Heels. But the kid has got talent, and that's why he was a first-round pick. But, you know, he had some horrific injuries earlier in his career, and he's mature now. And then, you know, you just don't want to, you know, you just want to know if he can sustain it over the long haul. Looks pretty good here early, but can he hold up physically over the long haul, after having all these bad injuries early in his career?
D, definitely appreciate the time. Always great info. How's the fan base been feeling? I know the first two home games have been losses. Obviously, you don't want to lose to the Saints, and you don't want to drop to 0-3 at home going into this one.
Yeah, no doubt. The fan base is doing pretty good, given the fact that the optimism for the season was very high. They knew it was going to be a tough start to the season when you're facing the Steelers, the Eagles, and the Chiefs. They didn't get the doors blown off, so they're still here for it. You know, they still don't like the Saints a whole lot, and they want to win on Sunday, then try to go to the Bucs and maybe take early control of the NFC South.
You guys are under a tropical storm warning, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been following it. The last update at 6:24, it hadn't hit Florida yet. Where we're at in Central Georgia, they got a big 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. window. So we'll just stay on top of that. Hurricane Helene, it's up to 130 miles, but it hasn't hit landfall yet. And so we're just monitoring that for the next 24 hours to see how, things go over here in Georgia and Florida.
But you stay safe, man. You stay safe, D.
Well, thank you so much. Certainly plan to do so. This is an act of God, and we'll be ready to, kind of got to hunker down here.
Always appreciate the time, D. Thank you. We'll be talking to you soon.
Thank you, D.
Sure. sure. No problem, Steve. Dave, take care. Thanks for having me.
All righty.
The Orlando Ledbetter, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Falcons beat writer. And man, oh, man, he's been with the Falcons squad covering them forever.
Man, D's been there.
God knows the
ins
and outs.
Over 30 years, for sure.
Yeah, huh?
And so knows the ins and outs of the organization, and certainly man, he has seen some good and a lot of bad. He's sort of like me. You've seen some good, and you've seen a lot of bad.
A lot more highs, at least here.
Well, under Peyton, yeah.
Right.
We've seen a lot of highs here before. I couldn't have really said a lot of that. But, no, D's been through the same thing. Because these are teams that came into the league 1 year apart, and yet you look at their histories. The Saints have one Super Bowl title. They went to a Super Bowl, but they didn't win it.
Choked it away.
Oh, man. Well, they actually went two and ended up losing
right.
both. But, man, these teams sort of mirror images in a lot of way of one another.
We're going to take a break and come right back to the Treasure Chest Casino right after this on our Treasure Chest Thursday here on WWL. We're back here at the Treasure Chest Casino. Treasure Chest Thursdays, I'm calling
Treasure
it.
Treasure Chest
We got Tulane Tuesdays, so we got Treasure Chest Thursdays now.
Tulane Tuesday, Treasure Chest Thursday. Does that sound like a winner?
Now we need like money-making Mondays or something.
That's pretty good. I'll give that maybe Tommy Tuckle will steal that one.
We got Thursday Night Football coming up. Obviously, a matchup between some interesting foes that have been struggling early on. NFC East teams and the Giants and Cowboys. How are you feeling about this one? I know the Giants are 6-point dogs at home, I think.
Man, listen, neither one of them have set the world on fire. A lot of expectation in the Cowboys because they – you know, the team of a few superstars here and there.
And they've been paying money for them, too.
And they have not been able to run the football and can't stop the run. Okay, in this league, where we talk so much about the pitch and catch part of the game, those two elements still play big. And the Cowboys, you know, there's a certain way to beat them in running at them and running the football. Man, we saw the Saints do it and the Ravens last week. You know, Derrick Henry's still a man out there on that football field, despite his age and all the hits that he's taken. But he's given out a lot, too. And then Lamar brings that element that I don't know if the Giants can run the ball like that. And again,
no Saquon.
no Saquon. He's in Philly. We've seen enough of that, too.
Exactly.
But, man, you think about Malik Nabers and what he brings to the table there. But there is that part of it, Steve, about for the Cowboys, can they stop the run and can they run the football? And that's the question. Right? If you ask me who's going to win, I think Dallas wins tonight.
Right.
But, man, it is no sure deal. So if I had to bet, I would bet Cowboys. But only because I think Dallas is better at the quarterback position.
You mentioned
with Dak over Daniel Jones.
You mentioned the Cowboys running game too struggling. Ezekiel Elliott doesn't look like that dude. And
no.
Rico Dowdle, people are talking about. Pick him up in fantasy football. For what?
My thing about it is you never know with a running back. And having worked with running backs throughout the years, I think one of the things that shows up early when you're not quite as good is you don't hit the hole as fast. You know, if you have a hole, you can run through it, but you don't hit the hole as fast and come out
yeah.
and be able to get extra yardage after the hit. And, man, with Zeke, who is a tremendous – I mean, you talk about a top-line player early in his career, but, man, he took a lot of shots. And he was a heavy-duty runner in high school, heavy-duty runner in college, heavy-duty runner early at Ohio State. And, man, the man upstairs only gives you so many hits. You know, and he's serviceable, but really probably on another team, he's your number two back.
Right. We got a heavy-duty break coming up. We'll be right back to close out Sports Talk, so stay tuned right here on WWL. Closing minutes here on Sports Talk live from the Treasure Chest Casino. We've been at the bar, the Game Bar and Grill, excuse me, here at the Treasure Chest, enjoying all the staff and the wondrous amenities around us as we get ready for Thursday Night Football, kicking off at 7 o'clock. Mike, want to touch on real quick NFC South action also this week. Pretty interesting. You got Carolina Panthers hosting Cincinnati Bengals, Andy Dalton back at the helm for the Panthers, and kind of a little bit of a revenge game, maybe you could say, for him against those Bengals.
Yeah, but it's been a while, so to speak, since he's played for Cincinnati.
Right.
Man, Cincinnati needs to win big time. They really, really need to win.
Also looking at the matchup, another NFC South game that's pretty important. Tampa Bay Buccaneers tied with the Saints for the division lead with the 2-1 record, having to bring in now those Philadelphia Eagles coming to Tampa after, man, those Bucs got waxed by Denver at home.
Did they get beat? They got beat up against them. And they were a beat-up football team before they played Denver, but they were a beat-up team the week before, and they went to Detroit and won there. So, man, now Philly's beat up also. No A.J. Brown, no Devontae Smith, yeah. Lane Johnson with the concussion. So,
and they're all crying about the Saints players.
Yeah, well, whatever. You know, come on, this is a contact game. Those things are going to happen in those sorts of situations. But, you know, again, just to me, I've always felt the NFC South was still the Bucs. You know,
agreed, right.
Until somebody can Atlanta, catch them.
Right.
You win 3 straight years, okay, and they've done a great job building that team. A lot of young players, and so you had a bad hiccup last week, though. Man, Sean in Denver put it to them.
For Steve and Mike, have a great night, everybody. See you at the Treasure Chest next week on WWL.